Lej, spet ena okrogla miza v enakih možnostih. Pa kaj te ženske kar naprej nekaj težijo? Kaj mi je pa hudega?
Veš kaj, poslušaj ti kdaj sektor Ž na RŠ-u, pa ti bo jasen, zakaj gre.
O, kdaj pa je?
Vsako drugo soboto v mesecu ob 5.
Sektor Ž!
Lep pozdrav vsem. Tole je majski sektor Ž. Najbrž ste ugotovili, da je termin nekoliko napačen oziroma drugačen. Do tega je prišlo zaradi določenih programskih zahtev, ki jih je morala kulturna redakcija izpolniti do 15. maja. Tako se izjemoma slišimo zadnjo soboto v mesecu. Danes se bomo posvetili predvsem predstavitvi londonske knjižnice, ki se ukvarja z beleženjem zgodovine žensk v Veliki Britaniji. Imenuje se zelo preprosto The Women's Library, torej ženska knjižnica. Ob koncu oddaje pa bomo predstavili še vsebino zadnjih dveh številk revije Delta, revije za ženske študije in feministično teorijo. O The Women's Library smo v sektorju že govorili in sicer je bilo to leta 2002, ko se je preselila v nove prostore in začela delovati na nov način in v večjem obsegu. Takratna otvoritev se je zgodila v 75-letnici ustanovitve knjižnice. Naslednje leto pa bo praznovala že 80 let. Knjižnica je namreč nastala v času boja za volilno pravico žensk in se je pred selitvijo imenovala The Fawcett Library. Seveda po znani sufražetki Millicent Fawcett. Prav Millicent Fawcett namreč je bila tista, ki je knjižnico leta 1926 tudi ustanovila. Načrti za pridobitev primernejših in večjih prostorov so obstajali dalj časa, vendar so se lahko začeli uresničevati šele leta 1998, potem, ko so iz loterijskih sredstev dobili subvencijo v višini 4,2 milijona funtov. Seveda je celoten projekt stal veliko več in so ga lahko izpeljali le s pomočjo sponzorskih sredstev iz precej velikega oziroma večjega števila virov. Od leta 2000 je projekt vodila sedanja direktorica knjižnice Antonija Bajet. In prav z Antonijo Bajet sem se pogovarjala o preteklosti, sedanjem položaju in prihodnosti knjižnice. Njene odgovore bom sproti na kratko povzemala, ker bo seveda govorila v angleščini. In poglejmo, kaj je bilo prvo vprašanje. Najprej me je zanimalo, če nam lahko pove kaj o več o zgodovini The Women's Library.
One of the organisations that was very involved with that was the National Union of Women's Suffrage Societies. And 2 years before women got equal franchise in this country, they realised that they had this amazing story of how women had campaigned for and won the vote. And so they decided to found a library which would document that story and hold the material related to it. At the same time, a lot of women were beginning to go through higher education in this country and beginning to enter the professions, and they felt that these women needed support, really how to break the glass ceiling, how to get into the professions, and so the library was founded to give them the information they needed to help them succeed. So the collection grew from that period. All sorts of women helped and donated, like Virginia Woolf, Vera Brittain. People gave things to the library, and the collections grew over that period, so that now it's not just the story of how women won the vote in this country, but it's the story of really a lot of different campaigns women have run and how they've run them for equality with men in this country and the kinds of issues that have concerned.
Ena od ključnih organizacij, ki je prispevala k ustanovitvi knjižnice torej leta 1926, je bila Nacionalna zveza sufražetskih društev. Do ustanovitve je prišlo, kot ste lahko slišali, ker so akterke gibanja hotele dokumentirati svoj boj. S tem so začele dve leti, preden so britanske ženske dobile volilno pravico. Hkrati so knjižnico zasnovale tudi kot vir informacij in podporo ženskam, ki so začele prav v tem obdobju vstopati v razne poklice. Od samih začetkov je zbirka rasla, tudi s pomočjo donacij. Vanjo sta svoje predmete prispevali naprimer pisateljici Virginia Woolf in Vera Brittain. Tako zbirka ne pripoveduje samo zgodbe o boju za volilno pravico, ampak o vseh prizadevanjih žensk v Veliki Britaniji za enakopravnost z moškimi. No, moje naslednje vprašanje je bilo, se je nanašalo na lokacijo. Knjižnica je na sedanji lokaciji od leta 2002. Kje je bila prej in kako to, da se je preselila?
Like all libraries owned by campaigning or voluntary organizations, non-profit organizations, the library spent many of years in accommodation, you know, the best accommodation they could find at the time. At one point it was in a bar, in what we call a public house, for many years. And at one, the rent came up at one point in the 1970s, which was a crisis, because where would the library go? So at that point it came to the predecessor of this university, London Metropolitan University, which we are now. And the collections were housed here, but they were housed in a basement. So for many years they lived in this basement, and you had to be a determined person to find them. And people did find them from all over the world. And several books were written using this amazing material in the basement. But because it was in the basement, it got flooded. And not always with water. It was once flooded with sewage, which, as you can imagine, is not good for a lot of very valuable textiles, books, papers, manuscripts, photographs. And so the university decided it needed to build a proper home for the library. And it was just the time when the National Lottery had been begun in Britain. And so they gave us a significant capital grant, and we raised the rest of the money, and we built a new building in what had been a swimming pool and public wash house, so a place where women had traditionally worked anyway. And now we have this fantastic new building just on the edge of the City of London and London's East End, so a very vibrant part of London to be in.
Kot vse podobne organizacije, knjižnice, ki so išle iz gibanj, ki so nastale kot prostovoljne ustanove, je bila knjižnica dolga leta prisiljena domovati v najboljših prostorih, ki si jih pač lahko privoščila. To se pravi, ne v ravno dobrih. Kar nekaj let je imela sedež celo v pubu, kot smo slišali, kjer pa so v 70-ih letih precej zvišali najemnino. Tako zelo, da je bilo potrebno najti neko drugo rešitev. Takrat jih je pod svoje okrilje vzela London Guildhall University, univerza v Londonu, ki se zdaj imenuje London Metropolitan University. To je bila sicer dobra rešitev, toda knjižnica in njene zbirke so bile nameščene v kleti, zaradi česar so bile težje dostopne, drug zelo hud problem pa so bile poplave. Zalila jih je tudi voda iz kanalizacije, kar pa je za tak arhiv seveda zelo slabo. Ko so od loterije dobili subvencijo, se je univerza odločila, da za knjižnico zgradi novo stavbo. In sicer na mestu, kjer sta bila nekdaj bazen in pralnica. Na mestu, ki je bil tradicionalno ženski. Hkrati gre za lokacijo polno življenja, kot je povedala Antonija Bajat. Nahajate se namreč med finančnim centrom Londona in vzhodnim delom Londona. Kaj pa je knjižnica poleg novih prostorov še pridobila s tem, ko se je preselila?
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you to me for taking the time for it. And
the room has been really important, because when the library was in the basement, there was really only the room for you know, 4 or 5 researchers to come in and look at material at one time. But now we have a bigger building. We have an exhibition program, a much bigger reading room. We've been able to continue collecting and cataloguing new material, so some important new collections have come in to the library. And we have an events program, and because we're part of London Metropolitan University, we've begun to do a lot more work with the students here. So the library's not just a resource for history students who want to find out about particular parts of, say, the suffrage campaigns, but it's a fantastic resource for fine arts students, for media studies students, digital media students. Because we have the space and the exhibition space, students can get involved in working on all sorts of projects that are connected to the collections here. So we've been able to do a lot more, and it's not just used for research anymore. It's used for teaching. Local Bangladeshi women, we have a very big Bangladeshi community on our doorstep, can come in and look at the textiles and think about how the banners that were sewn and made during the suffrage campaigns might relate to the kinds of ways they use textiles in their work and their lives now. So it's just become a resource that's much more widely available because we have more staff and the space to do that.
Kot smo slišali, torej so bili novi prostori ključna pridobitev. Sam prostor je bil zelo pomemben. Ko je bila knjižnica v kleti, je čitalnico lahko uporabljalo največ 5 raziskovalcev in raziskovalk naenkrat. Z novimi prostori so pridobili večjo čitalnico, več prostora za arhiviranje, to se pravi, da so lahko začeli intenzivneje zbirati gradivo. Svoje zbirke so lahko dali na voljo ne samo raziskovalcem, ampak tudi študentom. In to ne samo študentom zgodovine, tudi študentom umetnostne zgodovine, digitalnih medijev in tako dalje. Svojo dejavnost so lahko razširili na pripravljanje razstav, poučevanje, lahko so se odprli širši javnosti. Tako lahko zdaj, na primer, prapore sufražetskega gibanja pridejo pogledat tudi ženske iz bangladeške skupnosti, ki živi v soseščini knjižnice. Skratka, več prostora pomeni več dejavnosti, več osebja in večjo dostopnost. Zanimalo me je, kakšen je bil odziv javnosti, ko se je knjižnica preselila.
Yes, certainly. I mean, one of the things that we're working on at the moment is an exhibition and a program of events for 2006. We have the library, part of our collection. Very well. It's interesting. When the grant, this is before I worked here, but when the grant was first announced, some of the press coverage in Britain was very cross. They felt it was very politically correct to fund a women's museum or a women's library, and that women were now on equal terms with men, and this was all something in the past. Of course, I would argue that just because that was one of the most significant changes in the 20th century in this country doesn't mean that its history is not relevant anymore. There are, after all, museums of chairs, of swords, of jewelry, of paintings, all sorts of things. So this material is part of our cultural heritage. But interestingly, a lot of people in this country who take part in cultural programs or who go into adult education are extremely interested in women's issues, and women's issues are still up in the top of what people are interested in. So we've been able to get a lot of national press coverage for our exhibition programs, for example. And we've been careful to move the idea of the library on so that women's issues are not something that belong to the 1970s or the 1980s and radical second wave feminism. There's still something that really affects not just the half of the population that are female, but things like work-life balance or the government's attitudes to the sex work or whatever are things that affect all of us, and so we find that those issues are very interesting for a lot of people here.
Najprej ne se upravičim za rahle tehnične težave, očitno mini disk nekoliko utrujem pa preskakuje, upajmo, da se bo zdaj lepo obnašal. No, Antonija Bajet pa je govorila o tem, da je bil odziv javnosti zelo dober, pozitiven. Edino, ko je knjižnica oziroma univerza dobila subvencijo, v tistem času so nekateri mediji protestirali, češ, da potem ni nikakršne potrebe, da je to stvar preteklosti, saj so ženske zdaj enakopravne. Toda Antonija Bajet pravi, da če obstajajo muzeji stolov, nakita in tako naprej, skratka razno raznih reči, enako upravičeno obstaja tudi arhiv ženske zgodovine. Na vse zadnje je tudi to del narodne dediščine in pravzaprav še pomembnejši pravzaprav kot kakšen nakit recimo. Poleg tega se je skazalo, da vprašanja v zvezi s položajem žensk zanimajo veliko ljudi. Tudi mediji so precej pokrivali njihovo delo zlasti razstave. In še vedno so določeni problemi, kot je na primer dvojna obremenjenost žensk, ki morajo hkrati skrbeti za svojo kariero in za družino, ki so še vedno aktualni in se dotikajo vseh ljudi, ne samo žensk. In to dokazuje, da ta vprašanja niso bila zgolj stvar 70-ih in 80-ih let in radikalnega feminizma. Antonijo Bajet sem vprašala, če potem po njenem mnenju problemi še vedno so.
Oh, yes, certainly. I mean, one of the things that we're working on at the moment is an exhibition and a program of events for 2006. We have the library, part of our collections is the library of Josephine Butler, who was a 19th century campaigner for the rights of prostitute women in this country, and she also did a lot of work in Europe in the 19th century as well. Well, that's still an issue. Why does prostitution exist? What's happening with the trafficking of women? Obviously an issue a lot of people are very concerned about in this country. Why, on the whole, is it women who are the prostitutes and men who are the users? So I think, there's still a lot, that even though we've been through a dramatic amount of change, and in a lot of ways women have very different lives now to the lives they might have had 200 years ago, there are still, very difficult things in our society which we're all still battling with, I think.
Kot ste lahko slišali, je Antonija Bajet odgovorila pritrdilno. Problemi vsekakor so. Eno od nerazrešenih vprašanj, ki ga je dala za primer, ostaja prostitucija. V knjižnici trenutno pripravljajo program za leto 2006, ki bo posvečen Josephine Butler, borki za pravice prostitutki iz 19. stoletja. Josephine Butler je delala v Veliki Britaniji, pa tudi drugod po Evropi. In The Women's Library hrani njeno knjižnico. Prostitucija in z njo povezana trgovina z ženskami ostaja problem. Neodgovorjeno je vprašanje, zakaj je večina ljudi, ki se prodajajo ženskega spola, in zakaj so moški večinoma stranke. Torej, čeprav ženske danes živimo bistveno drugače kot pred 200 leti, vsega še nismo razrešili. Pa bi mogoče lahko govorili o tem, da so pravice žensk ogrožene.
I don't know the absolute answer to that. I don't know if they're threatened again, but I think there are still unresolved things. I think although, for example, we have more professional women than we used to have in this country, they don't tend to be women on the board. There are still issues about work-life balance, still issues about childcare. If you look at something like the minimum wage in this country, on one hand, it's very good because a lot of women workers are working at the lower end of the pay scale. so they'll get minimum wage. Well, that's great, but why are so many women working at the end of the pay scale? They're still paying equality in this country. So I don't know if it's in some areas, perhaps there are expert people who would say women's rights are threatened, but I think it's more a case that, you know, change is happening, but it takes a long time.
Na to vprašanje Antonija Bajet nima končnega, definitivnega odgovora. Ne bi rekla, da so pravice ogrožene, ampak da so določena vprašanja nerazrešena, pravi. Naprimer, še vedno je zelo malo žensk na visokih položajih. Skrb za otroke je v glavnem na njihovih ramenih, še vedno so ženske plačane slabše od moških. To, da obstaja zajamčena plača, je dobro, ker je veliko žensk na delovnih mestih, kjer je to pomemben instrument. To, da vprašanje ostaja, zakaj je ravno največ žensk na takih delovnih mestih. Morda bi strokovnjaki za posamezna področja rekli, da so kakšne pravice žensko ogrožene. Toda gre bolj za to, da se spremembe dogajajo, vendar se ne morejo zgoditi z danes na jutri. Poslušali smo prvi del pogovora z direktorico londonske knjižnice The Women's Library. Sledi še drugi del, v katerem bo povedala nekaj o zbirki, ki jo knjižnica hrani, o sodelovanju z drugimi ustanovami, o trenutnem položaju knjižnice in o načrtih za naprej. Antonija Bajet sem vprašala, če gre zgolj za britanski arhiv ali izbirajo tudi materiale od drugod.
The collection focuses on Britain. We do collect the printed side of our collections has a more international flavor, partly because I think we believe in order to understand the context of women in Britain, you need to collect something about what's going on in other parts of the world because that's the wider context. And historically, those collections have had a wider context. But it would be impossible to collect everything about all women in the world. So we'll carry on focusing on women in Britain, although, of course, Britain is a more and more diverse society. And so we wouldn't be collecting for the future if we didn't think about, say, the experiences of Asian or refugee women in this country at the moment and how we collect to create a picture for the future of their concerns. We have an electronic database called Genesis, which at the moment is a guide to women's history sources in this country, but we do have plans to try and expand that, and the project I was describing to you with the women in the repositories in Europe around prostitution and Josephine Butler. We're hoping that some of that information will go onto this website, so we'll begin to develop a more international research resource.
Kot je povedala Antonija Bajet, cilj zbirke je dokumentirati življenje žensk v Veliki Britaniji. To je glavni poudarek zbirke. Edino le tiskano gradivo je tudi mednarodno, saj je za razumevanje dogajanja v Veliki Britaniji potreben širši mednarodni kontekst. Nemogoče pa bi bilo zbirati gradivo o zgodovini žensk vsega sveta. Res pa je, da Velika Britanija postaja vse bolj raznolika družba in ne morejo mimo izkušenj žensk, ki so prišle iz azijskih držav ali pa izkušenj begunk, ki bivajo v Veliki Britaniji. Imajo pa elektronsko bazo podatkov z imenom Genesis, Geneza, to je vodič po britanskih virih za žensko zgodovino. In to bazo podatkov pa nameravajo razširiti z nekaj mednarodnega gradiva, do katerega bodo prišli pri raziskavi dela Josephine Butler. Kaj je tisto najboljše, kar hranijo v svojih arhivih? Kaj odlikuje njihovo zbirko?
Obviously, the suffrage material is absolutely unique and amazing, and the banners are very beautiful. But I think the other strength really is the whole story that it tells of the kinds of things women have been concerned about, the ways that women who can be quite different from each other have worked together because they believe in being equal and in gaining their rights. So I think its strength is that it's a really, on one level, it's that it's a really strong story about how people can campaign for what they really feel they need and usually succeed. And it reveals a side of history that certainly in this country has not always been told or hidden. So the roles that women have played in social and political history don't often seem as apparent as the roles that men have played. And what this collection does is say, actually, women were doing all sorts of things in quite significant ways. You just need to know where to look.
Najpomembnejše je vsekakor gradivo iz časov boja za volilno pravico. Plakati, fotografije, prapori. Zelo lepi in edinstveni. Še pomembnejše kot posamezni predmeti pa je sporočilo zbirke. Zbrano gradivo govori o tem, kako so zelo različne ženske stopile skupaj in se borile proti neenakostim in bile tudi uspešne. Gradivo torej razkriva moč gibanj in razkriva del zgodovine, na katerega se rado pozablja. Kaže namreč, kako pomembno vlogo so imele ženske v socialni in politični zgodovini. Ali so tudi drugod v Veliki Britaniji podobne knjižnice, kot je vaša?
Yeah, there are other women's libraries. We're the biggest collection, but there are other smaller collections that have concentrated on collecting around women's history. And I think the other really important thing to say is that in any museum or archive or repository, there will be a lot of history about women. It's just that it's often not showcased in that kind of way.
Obstajajo tudi druge manjše ženske knjižnice tega tipa. Pomembno je pa poudariti, da ima tudi vsak muzej, arhiv, gradivo v zvezi z zgodovino žensk, to da ponavadi ga ne predstavljajo na tak način kot mi. Zanimalo me je tudi, s kom vse sodelujejo.
Inside the UK, we are beginning to developing a range of partnerships, I suppose, and some of those will be with voluntary organisations like the National Federation of Women's Institutes. We hold their collections, and we're working with them to develop various projects, or one-parent families, for example. Or they might be community organisations, so that we're beginning to develop the way in which people who aren't coming out of higher education can use these kinds of collections and ways in which they might find them interesting. We do work with organisations like the Museum of London. We're looking at building links with the Science Museum. So other museums that also have interest in telling women's stories. And of course the academic departments in our university, you know, have all sorts of skills and research that is relevant to what we do. In Europe, we have a research project at the moment as part of our Josephine Butler prostitution work. We have a researcher here who is particularly looking at Josephine Butler's impact in various European countries. So she's making contacts with libraries and universities and repositories in the countries Josephine Butler particularly visited: Germany, Sweden, Italy, France, Belgium. Looking at what material they have and how what they've got tells that story of her influence, but also I hope building links for the future where all have similar research interests.
V Veliki Britaniji sodelujejo z različnimi nevladnimi organizacijami, kot je na primer Nacionalna zveza ženskih društev. Med drugim hranijo njihovo zbirko. Potem z muzeji, na primer z Londonskim muzejem. Tesno sodelujejo tudi z oddelki na univerzi, del katere so. Z raziskovalnim projektom o Josephine Butler pa svoja sodelovanja širijo tudi na druge evropske države. Raziskovalka, ki se ukvarja z vplivom Josephine Butler, bo raziskala gradivo, ki ga hranijo knjižnice, arhivi v Nemčiji, na Švedskem, v Italiji, Franciji in Belgiji. Kakšen pa je trenutni položaj knjižnice in kakšni so njihovi načrti?
The current situation is that we're very much part of London Metropolitan University, so a lot of what we'll be doing over the next few years is looking at growing the library to complement the teaching and the research in the university. And it's a very interesting university because It's a London-based institution with a high profile of international students, and also 59% of our undergraduates are not white, so very diverse student body. So that's very interesting in terms of how to interpret our collections. We're continuing on our exhibition program, so we're developing this big project around women in prostitution. And then we're going to move on, I hope, and look at girls' education and the future for girls' education. We're continuing to build and collect and catalogue our collections and make them more accessible through electronic access and the website that we're building. We're relaunching shortly. So, and we have to raise a lot of money, like I suppose a lot of institutions do. So it's a round of moving forward, involving more people, developing audiences, raising the money to do that.
Kot del univerze London Metropolitan University so usmerjeni v to, da zbirke dopolnijo in razširijo tako, da bodo v pomoč raziskovalnim projektom in poučevanju na univerzi. Ker ima univerza veliko mednarodnih študentk in študentov in ker je kar 51% študentov druge rase kot belci, skratka niso belci, je to zanimiva in zahtevna naloga. Še naprej se bodo posvečali razstavni dejavnosti, tako nameravajo po prostituciji obdelati izobraževanje deklet. To bo njihova naslednja tema. Ob dopolnjevanju svojih zbirk pa si želijo tudi, da bi bile čim bolj dostopne vsem, da bi do njih prišli tudi ljudje, ki nimajo za sabo visokošolskega študija. Eden od projektov za večjo dostopnost je prenovljen elektronski dostop. Seveda je za vse to potrebno veliko denarja, tako da se bodo precej ukvarjali tudi zbiranjem sredstev. Na koncu me je zanimalo, kako težko je zbrati vsa potrebna sredstva.
We're lucky because there's a lot of different kinds of funding sources that we can go to. Some of them are statutory education-related funding sources, and some of them are trusts and foundations. Some areas are easier to fund than others, so it's easier to find the money to do a project where school children or members of the local community come in and work with the collections than it is to find money to run the inquiry service in the reading room. So, but of course, you know, we are part of the university, so that does give us some stability. But it's hard work, and I think it's true for most, it's a central part of a lot of people's work in cultural institutions. Is raising the money to do things.
Na srečo imajo več virov sredstev. Določen del sredstev jim pripada po zakonu, druga sredstva pridobijo iz raznih skladov. Za nekatere projekte, kot so na primer programi za osnovnošolske otroke, lažje dobijo denar kot za kakšne druge dejavnosti. Vendar imajo kot del univerze neko finančno varnost, zaradi česar jim je malce lažje, še vedno pa morajo v nabiranje sredstev vložiti precej energije. To je bil pogovor z Antonijo Bajet, direktorico londonske knjižnice The Women's Library. Še več o sami knjižnici in gradivu, ki ga hranijo, najdete na njihovi spletni strani www.thewomenslibrary.ac.uk.
Make me be a wife. knife's got a shiny blade.
Do konca letošnjega aprila je bila v The Women's Library na ogled razstava z naslovom Železne ladies, ženske v Veliki Britaniji za časa Margaret Thatcher. Na razstavi je bilo mogoče videti, da je gradivo, ki ga hranijo, res raznoliko in bogato. Obdobje Margaret Thatcher oziroma 80. leta so bila predstavljena zelo plastično. Razstava je bila razdeljena na tematske sklope od prizadevanj žensk, da bi se prebile na više položaje, do boja proti nasilju v družini, do zdravega življenja in aerobike. Na ogled je bilo vse od dokumentov, plakatov, fotografij, priponk, ki so kazali, kako so ženske protestirale proti zapiranju rudnikov, proti jedrskemu orožju, do osebnih predmetov Margaret Thatcher. Razstavili so na primer eno izmed njenih torbic, s katerimi je vladala. Njene torbice so bile znamenite, saj se nikjer ni pojavila brez nje, postale pa so tudi simbol njenega načina vladanja. Zelo neizprosnega, a navidez zmehčanega z elementi ženstvenosti. Zanimivo je, da nič na njej ni bilo prepuščeno na ključju. Imela je poseben rokovnik, kjer je bilo ob obveznostih pripisano, kako bo oblečena. Skratka, vnaprej je bilo določeno, kdaj bo nosila kaj. Ob rokovniku so razstavili zimski plašč, v katerem je paradirala na obisku v Moskvi in dajala neko določeno podobo zahoda. Posebej zabavno je bilo videti tudi pismo Reaganu, v katerem ga naslavlja z Dear Ronnie. Znano je, da sta bila zelo v tesnih odnosih, skratka, si bila istih misli glede politike in tako naprej. Omenila sem plašč. Treba je ob tem poudariti, da knjižnica hrani tudi bogato zbirko oblačil. Na razstavi so bila na ogled tudi nekatera tipična oblačila tedanjega časa, na primer oblačila za aerobiko. Po ogledu razstave o položaju žensk v 80-ih letih v Veliki Britaniji sem ugotovila, da se dogajanje tam in pri nas pravzaprav ne razlikuje tako zelo. Pri tem seveda mislim na temeljna vprašanja in vzgibe, ki so poganjala prizadevanja žensk tam in tukaj. Bistvena razlika med tukaj in tam, ki pa se kaže tudi še dan danes, pa je, da je pri nas miselnost, da je ukvarjanje ženskimi vprašanji, ustanavljanje ženskih organizacij, organiziranje ženskih festivalov in tako naprej, getoizacija in neproduktivno. Ta miselnost je tako trdovratna, da se celo zgodi, da na neki okrogli mizi moški zagovarja feministične ideje in preprečuje žensko sogovornico, zakaj so take stvari potrebne.
Je cherche son nom.
Že v prejšnji oddaji sem omenila, da sta išli novi številki Delte, revije za ženske študije in feministično teorijo. Gre za letnik 2004, s katerim avtorice najavljajo, da bodo stopile v korak s časom in da revija ne bo več izhajala z zamikom. Tako naj bi naslednja številka, prva za letnik 2005, išla že v začetku poletja. Upala sem, da bom pred mikrofon dobila urednico revije Evo Bahovec, toda žal je ni v Sloveniji. Tako nam zaenkrat ostaja samo kratek prelet vsebin. Številka 1 do 2 prinaša tri pogovore iz evropskega raziskovalnega projekta o spolu v kontekstu razširitve Evropske unije. In sicer pogovore z Nevo Železnik, Tanjo Lesničar Pučko in Ženjo Lajler. Tema so bile položaj ženske in ženske teme v Sloveniji po osamosvojitvi. En sklop članka v tej številki je posvečen psihoanalizi. Poleg tega pa najdemo noter še dva zanimiva članka. Prvi je članek Polone Mesec z naslovom Kako je molk lahko jezik, kjer se ukvarja spolno razliko v literaturi. Liljana Burcar pa piše o kiborških organizmih v luči feminizma. Številka 3 do 4 prinaša dve zanimivi in aktualni razpravi. V prvi Andreja Mesareč piše o pomenih pokrivanja pri muslimankah, v drugi pa Luna Jurančič-Šibar govori o fenomenu teroristk. Poleg tega lahko v tej številki izveste, kako ultrazvočne naprave vplivajo na personifikacijo nerojenih otrok in kako so se v 19. stoletju uveljavljale likovne umetnice. Tako, to je bilo vse za danes. Slišimo se spet 11. junija. Za tehnikalije ste danes skrbela Aleks in Božo, z vami sem bila Katja. Do naslednjič, adijo.
Glej, spet ena okrogla miza v enakih možnostih. Pa kaj te ženske kar naprej nekaj težijo? Kaj mi je pa hudega?
Veš kaj, poslušaj ti kdaj sektor Ž na RŠ-u, pa ti bo jasen, zakaj gre.
O, kdaj pa je?
Vsako drugo soboto v mesecu ob 5.
Sektor Ž!